Hello, I hope you're well and you're surviving lockdown Mark 2. This morning is the third in our series on the Sermon on the Mount. And last week, Abby did a fantastic job looking at the beginning of chapters 5. So if you missed that, I recommend having a listen on the church website because Abby is a fantastic Bible teacher and we're really blessed to have her teaching us the Bible. So before I get into our passage today, let's just take a moment and pray. Jesus, your words are spirit, truth, and their life. I pray that you would speak your life and your truth and your transforming power into our lives this morning. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Amen. Amen. Okay, so first I'm going to say something about the Sermon on the Mount as a whole. I want to say is this: before we have an election to choose our leaders, the different people who want us to vote for them write a manifesto. And the point of a manifesto is this: it tells us what they're going to do if we vote for them. Now, the Sermon on the Mount is a little bit like Jesus's manifesto. Jesus telling us what life will look like if we make him our ruler, if we make him our king. Then in the next bit of Matthew's gospel, he goes on to show us what that life will look like. Now, to get started as a Christian, we need to realize that we've sinned, and by sin, I mean we've rebelled against God. We've ripped our life away from Him and tried to run it ourselves in our own power to our own ends. So we need to realize that we've sinned, and we need to grasp that Jesus died so that we can be forgiven for all of that sin that we've done, all of my sin, all of my anger, all of my lust, all of my godlessness. Was taken by Jesus Christ when he died on the cross. When he rose again, he overcame my sin and he overcame my death so I could be forgiven and so I could be given new life. And so now I can set off on that new life, a life where I'm not rebelling against God, but I'm obeying God and I'm following Jesus. Day by day. And so this sermon that Jesus taught shows us what that new life looks like, what it means to live as a follower of Jesus, as a Christian. And the verses that we had read to us earlier break down into two parts. The first part, where Jesus talks about salt and light, they finish off what Abby was talking about last week. And then the second part, which talks about the law and introduce that goes on to introduce Jesus' teaching in the next few chapters on the Ten Commandments. So, first bit, why following Jesus is a bit like being salt and a bit like being light. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how could it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men." Now, salt does two main things. It brings out flavors and it stops food going bad. And Jesus was saying to that community of his disciples, and Jesus is saying to us, "You are the salt of the earth." Now, he didn't say to us, "You need to do lots and lots of different stuff in order to be salt." He said to us, "You are salt." So then, how are we salt? Simply by living by the values that Abby looked at us last week, those values set out in the Beatitudes in verses 3 to 11 of chapter 5. We're not playing the world's games, we're not chasing the world's goals. We're seeking God and we're living by His values. And when we do that, then the world gets a little taste of God and life as God meant it to be lived. And that helps the world to recognise where things are going wrong, and it helps the world to see bad choices and make better choices. And then Jesus gives this warning about salt losing its taste. And the only way that's going to happen to salt is if it gets contaminated. Because contaminated salt neither brings out flavour or stops stuff going bad. And if we get contaminated by the world, then we cannot act as a taste of heaven. We cannot be a preservative. When we give way to anger, or we give way to greed, or we give way to lust, or we give way to pursuing power as an end in itself, we lose our taste. And I fear that this is exactly what's happening to the church in the US at the moment. Now, please don't mishear me here. I'm not saying that one political party is good and another political party is bad, because life's never that simple, is it? You can make good arguments for supporting the Republicans, you can make good arguments for supporting the Democrats, and you can see it different ways. What I am saying is that for much of the white church to give such vocal support to Donald Trump, a man who is a racist, who is proud, who is clearly a narcissistic bully, and above all, a man who obviously has such contempt for the truth, the church has contradicted its profession to follow Christ. How can the church then go on to say our manifesto is the Beatitudes that Abby spoke about last week? The church is not only failing to honour and acknowledge God's values, it's helping to destroy them. You are the light of the world, Jesus went on to say. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven. Okay, so light helps us to see things. And in the Bible, light is a picture of God's revelation. God is saying to his people, God is saying to us, I want the world to see me through you. So we're supposed to live out the life that Abby described last week so the world can see what God and his kingdom are like. Now the danger is that we hide God away and keep him locked in church, and then when we're out of church going about our everyday life, we look just like everyone else in the world. Faith isn't just a private thing between me and God. God wants us to be like torches that shine out his love and his grace and his wisdom and his truth into the darkness around us. He wants us to be like signposts to God and in his life and his kingdom in the world. So I was reading these verses. My mind just wandered off to Psalm 34, verse 8, and the psalmist says this: taste and see that the Lord is good. As we know, we need to be talking to people about Jesus, talking to him about the forgiveness and the new life that he offers. But if people around us are going to really get what we're saying, then they need to taste it like salt, and they need to see it like light. And that's why I really want our church to be a community where all sorts of people can come and just hang out with us and be with us, no matter what they believe. If our community is salt and light, and if our community is open to everyone, then they won't just hear about God, but they will taste God and they will see God. But they won't see it if our community only exists in our services. People need to be with us without conditions if they're going to taste and see. So that's salt, and that's light, and now we move on to the last section, the law. Now, Jesus wasn't the only Jewish teacher who was explaining the kingdom of God. There were other groups around, and one of those other groups was called the Pharisees. And the Pharisees' vision of the kingdom of God was to people to be more and more and more strict in keeping all the rules and the laws of the Old Testament, particularly of Moses. And that's more or less the vision of the Jewish community that lives around the church, to keep the law of Moses more and more carefully. Now Jesus, he was clearly bringing something new. And so a big question for him was, so Jesus, what's your attitude to the Old Testament? And he said this, don't think that I've come to abolish the law of the prophets. I haven't come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Jesus was teaching that the kingdom that he was announcing was the fulfillment of the Old Testament. And he went on to say something that would have been very offensive to the Pharisees. He said this, I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teacher of the law, you certainly will not enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, Jesus was saying that the Pharisees and the teacher of the law, they got it all wrong. Now, you must understand the Pharisees, they were hardcore about the law. They were not messing around. It would be really hard to imagine how you could be more strict about keeping all of the rules than the Pharisees. The very thought of trying to be more strict about the rules than the Pharisees was just exhausting. There's just no way you could do it. But Jesus's view of the law was not that it's a set of standards to be lived up to, not a set of rules to be kept. Jesus saw that the law of Moses was describing a certain type of heart. And following Jesus is not the way of keeping all the rules. Following Jesus is the way of the transformed heart. So for Jesus, being a faithful citizen of God's kingdom, it's not just about not killing people or not sleeping with people who you aren't married to. Jesus's vision of the kingdom is people whose hearts are freed from rage and anger, whose hearts are freed from lust and so on. And so these verses that we've just looked at introduce the next bit of the sermon where Jesus goes on to teach on the Ten Commandments, that really famous summary of the whole teaching of the law of Moses. And that's what we're going to look at in the next sessions on the Sermon on the Mount. So there we are. As a community, we're called to be salt and light to the world around us, letting the world taste and see God's kingdom by being people of the Beatitudes. And as a community, we're called to fulfill the Old Testament, not by straining really hard to keep all the rules, but by allowing God to transform our hearts and change us from the inside out. We're to be salt and light by being transformed from the inside out. Just take a moment in silence and allow God to speak to us, and then I'll pray for us. Jesus, you are amazing and we love you so much. Thank you for the salvation that you offer us. Thank you that you forgive us. Thank you you fill our hearts with your healing and your love and your peace. And I pray that we would allow you to work deeply in our hearts so that we might be transformed from the inside out, so that we might be a community that allows the world around us to taste and see the wonder of your love, of your life, of your kingdom, of your salvation. You're just amazing, Jesus, and we love you. Amen. Amen.